From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Landslides are a growing concern in Southeast Alaska. A recent destructive slide in downtown Juneau left homeowners and the community grappling with how to respond. And as Claire Strumpel reports, another question, who pays?
For Jen Mitchum, the answer so far has been friends and kind strangers. A friend started an online fundraiser for Mitchum after a September storm sent trees through his living room. He wasn't home at the time. The online fund has raised about $50,000. It's two long, steep flights of metal grate stairs to get to what's left of his house.
These steps here no longer go up, as you can see, but that originally went up to the front entrance of my house.
It looks like sheer force of impact knocked the home off its foundations and down the hill.
Yeah, I've got one tree that kind of bullseyed right through that tiny window there into my living room, yeah.
The door hangs off its hinges, and a robin pecks around in the detritus of the living room. Scavenging bears scattered food wrappers from the kitchen. Most of the house is leaning onto the downhill neighbor's home, like a tired-out kid leaning on their parent's shoulder. The washing machine is upended, and golden insulation sprays out of a ripped wall.
Honestly, it's hard to know where to start.
Mitchum just moved from a hotel to a temporary apartment. His insurance is paying for his stay. And after that?
It kind of depends on whether my insurance agrees to cover for the situation or not.
Mitchum says he thinks he'll rebuild, but he has some concerns about the location now. His home isn't a severe landslide hazard zone, according to city maps. City officials say fallen trees are what totaled his house. It's good news for Mitchum because he doesn't have landslide insurance. Many Juneau residents report that their mortgage brokers tell them they simply cannot get landslide insurance in Southeast Alaska anymore.
It is available, but it's been extremely hard to write.
Emil Mackey works for an insurance agency in Juneau. He says he gets an automatic rejection when he tries to write Juneau clients landslide insurance. He says that's because of the fatal and destructive landslides in the region. The 2015 slide in Sitka and 2020 slide in Haines changed how insurers view risk region-wide.
No matter where you are in Juneau, if you're within 1 mile of any historic landslide, which is anybody near a mountain, which is everybody in Juneau, yes, it takes basically a geosurvey to get approved.
A geotechnical survey can cost thousands of dollars. Mackey says this latest landslide is likely to affect insurance too, and not just in Juneau.
I think it's actually going to affect the availability of landslide insurance throughout Alaska, because most insurance companies actually consider risks on a state level or a county level, and not necessarily on a city level.
Both of Carol Treem's homes are in landslide zones. The Juneau Assembly member is calling for the city to do a better job responding to landslides. And no, she does not have landslide insurance.
Just the risk factors are changing so quickly.
Treem says 20 years ago, risk calculation was more static in Juneau. Residents could be expected to make their own risk assessments.
But that's changing. Climate change is changing that. I think that now that means that we have a role to play as a city government in helping people figure out what those risks are, how quickly they're changing.
Treem isn't an outlier. Roughly half of the downtown area is in a hazard zone for landslides or avalanches, according to the city's maps. But she says it's more than downtown hazards. Flooding in the Mendenhall Valley, at Jordan Creek, and erosion on waterways are some examples. After the landslide on Gastineau Avenue, the city cleared the road. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says that's been its main job so far. They may relocate a culvert for better hillside drainage. But he says further involvement isn't in the playbook yet.
It's not that the community has decided to do nothing. It's that the community has decided to move forward in a more individualistic nature about thinking about risk and these sorts of emergency events.
In other words, as a community, Juneau hasn't made a plan for how the local government should be involved after a landslide destroys a home or a neighborhood. But Barr said that could change. The city will resume talks about the new hazard maps and what they mean next month. The city has considered buyouts in hazard zones before. That's where the city buys dangerous property so people don't continue living there. But Barr says the city hasn't considered buyouts for the homes damaged by this landslide, like Jen Mitchum's.
I would consider that, yeah, if it was offered, for sure.
Looking over the wreckage of his home, Mitchum says that's an offer he might take. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strumpel.
It's the fourth week of protests in the Islamic Republic of Iran, sparked by 22-year-old Mahsa Amini's death in September. Amini died after being detained by morality police over what she was wearing. From Berlin to Los Angeles, thousands have marched in solidarity with the Iranian people. And for some Alaskans, these protests hit close to home. Minu Minai left Iran when she was 13. She first arrived in Anchorage in 1980 and spent 33 years teaching in the Anchorage School District. In her spare time, she volunteered at Catholic Social Services and helped refugees settle into their new home. One refugee she interpreted for even became her godson. Minai's father led their family out of Iran.
He got us out before the revolution. And I have never really gone back. So I have never seen the change. And I just read about it. And it's just heartbreaking. I mean, we have really gone backwards so far. And I don't know if it's ever going to go forward.
By mid-October, 185 people, including 19 minors, had been killed in Iran. Many injuries and thousands of arrests at the hands of the government security forces were also recorded. Videos of women and schoolgirls at the front lines of the protests have circulated the internet.
It is really heartbreaking to see how the women, they just really try so hard to fight with nothing in their hand except their brain.
Minai pointed to social media as one reason why Iranian youth are raising their voices. She said the older generation witnessed the revolution, but never tasted freedom.
If they are educated, they can see how much opportunity they could have. I feel really sorry for them. I just really hope that the Western world would do something to help these people.
During past protests, Minai has written letters to U.S. senators, from Ted Stevens to Lisa and Frank Murkowski, encouraging them to condemn the Iranian government and end sanctions on Iran.
The sanctions that we are constantly putting on that poor country is killing the poor. And the only thing we can do, we can just basically encourage them to be strong and to stay together.
In the meantime, Iranians like Minai, who have made Alaska their home, continue to hope for change from afar. Hundreds of hotel rooms and shelter beds in Anchorage will continue to be available to people without homes through at least the end of the year. That's after the Anchorage Assembly on Tuesday committed $3.5 million more for ongoing shelter, meal, and navigation services through December 31st. The Assembly also decided that the city-owned former Golden Lion Hotel in the Tudor area will not be part of the emergency response this winter. Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports.
The Anchorage Assembly struck the Golden Lion from its emergency cold weather sheltering plan adopted last month. However, most Assembly members do want to use the Golden Lion's 85 rooms in the city's non-emergency homelessness response. Here's Assembly Member Meg Zalatel.
I do not want to see the Golden Lion used as a shelter. I've never proposed that it be used as a shelter. But it does make sense as housing. Housing is the solution to homelessness.
Zalatel argued that it's cheaper and more stable to essentially pay the rent for someone in a city-owned asset than to pay for a bed in a less stable emergency shelter setting. She said the savings could pay for services that prevent homelessness. In an interview, Assemblymember Jamie Allard said the distinction between using it as an emergency shelter and housing for the homeless isn't meaningful to her, since it would be serving the same population. Allard was the only Assemblymember to vote against the Golden Lion change, but the distinction may resolve legal issues related to city land use codes and a past Assembly commitment not to use the Golden Lion as an emergency shelter. There was a lot of political finger-pointing during public testimony and Assembly discussion on Tuesday about who did what that led to the repeated displacement and relocation of the city's homeless residents this year. The mayor's chief of staff, Adam Trombley, told the Assembly he isn't interested in that.
I'll be honest with you, I really don't feel like getting in the middle of a political fight. I have no desire to relitigate the past. It doesn't change anything. My goal is to get along and find solutions.
Trombley said one of the next steps for the Golden Lion to become housing is for the Assembly and administration to agree on a legal land use designation. The city's homelessness response beyond 2022 is expected to be handled through the Assembly and administration's annual budgeting process, which is underway now. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
For more stories like these, go to ktoo.org. I'm Yvonne Crumry, and you're listening to KTOO. It's just about 5 o'clock.